What happens in the sky affects life down here on Earth. The Celestial Compass shows you how and guides your way with astrology you can use from professional astrologer Kathy Beal. Every episode features her light-hearted, practical forecasts and navigational tips, blended with humor, optimism, and a love of patterns, symbolism, and pop culture references. Kathy translates technicalities into concepts that apply to real life. You'll learn how the current moment ties to where we've been, from the recent past to cycles that last happened years ago, and get a look at where we're heading. And much more, from special topics to special guests. The Celestial Compass, enlightening, entertaining, and empowering. Here's your host, Kathy Beal.
Greetings, Earthlings. This is Kathy Beal of EmpowermentUnlimited.net, and welcome to another fun-filled episode of Celestial Compass. I'm going to start with the forecast for the rest of the month, and actually even just for today, because what is going on at this moment is really emblematic of what we have going for the rest of the week and the rest of the month. We are in a point of maybe course correction. Re-energizing is probably another way to put it, but there is a massive propulsive energy pushing us forward and making a lot of things happen, making a lot of things real this week. And Mercury retrograde is not going out without its casualties. It did station direct today. So officially, we are closing down the last retrograde cycle of the year. This one has been more intense than they usually are because it started with, and it's going to wrap up at the beginning of next month with a very powerful sharpening, streamlining link between Mercury and Pluto, Lord of the Underworld, Lord of the Halloween season, Lord of Secrets and Power. And there has been an intensity, a lot of things coming up out of the woodwork with it all, and a lot of things breaking. There have been a phenomenal amount of pet illnesses, pet deaths, people with really amazingly difficult relationship developments with extreme health situations. And why am I saying all this? This is not historic. It is getting whipped up to a frenzy into what we're going to do with it, which will play out for the next couple of weeks. Because as Mercury is going direct, Jupiter is also going direct. Jupiter, it is in a sign that has a collective influence, and it's in an adjustment aspect with the guy that's made everything so intense, Pluto. And Mars, the action hero of the zodiac, the guy that rules our drive, I call him the planet of push, is colluding with Jupiter today. So there's a giant whirlwind of information in my life of things breaking down. I am looking at a situation where my laptop, which doesn't have the Ohm Times software on it, is connected to the wireless network, but my desktop, which does have the Ohm Times software on it, is connected. It's hardwired into the modem, and I can't get through hardwired. So you're hearing me through my phone. Just a little detail to let you know that even astrologers, especially astrologers, it seems, are prone to whatever Mercury is up to. Now, this energy is whooshing us forward. We will not have time to sit and linger and lick our wounds from all of the things that have come at us in the first part of the month. Many people were hit in the head with a brick. I know some people who were hit in the head with multiple bricks, and they're reeling, but we're going to be scrambling and moving forward, but fast. This week also brings the intensity of a full moon in Aries, which is ruled by Mars. So this is like a fighter moon, firefighter, where's the fire energy? But it also has a connection with Pluto, Lord of the Underworld, and this is forcing a lot of relationship dynamics to absolutely change, transform, to move into a new phase. So if you're feeling this, you are right in the thick of where you should be, although should is a not that great a word to use. And you will find that almost effortlessly, which is not to say not without some agony, but almost effortlessly, all kinds of situations around you are going to mutate into a very, very different form during this week. And then we get into officially spooky season, although it has felt like it for some time, when the sun moves into Scorpio as we get into the weekend. And then next week, Mars, planet of push, ruler of our drive, also moves into Scorpio, and everyone goes back to being very intense and perceptive, and the veil is thin at this time of year. Trust your intuition, trust your perception. If you find yourself stumbling onto little messages from loved ones who are on the other side, don't talk yourself out of them. You are, in fact, getting messages. There's a terrific amount of communication going on right now. If there are specific people you would like to talk to, I encourage you to reach out and try to get through to them. It does not have to be an unpleasant time. Venus, who's the social director of the sky, is in party mode. And at the beginning of next week, so this will be governing all of next weekend, she's going to be in a really, really nice relationship with the other planet of indulgence. So you may find yourself going out, having adventures, having fun, reaching out to friends, buying all kinds of things. I'm suddenly seeing little witchy markets everywhere. So dress up, have a good time, trust your instincts. Speak to the dead. It's the season for it. And this is all leading into Halloween, which actually will feel like Halloween this year. It should be extraordinarily social because the planet of communication is getting a power up from Jupiter. So these two guys who are both going direct today will complete some major teamwork by the end of the month. You may actually be on the, believe it or not, party circuit, running around, doing lots of things, seeing many people, having a wild and wonderful time, which leads to today's topic and how it ties into Mercury retrograde. Today's topic is Halloween, traditions, history, and I am soloing it at the moment. My guest, I do not quite understand what has happened. Probably there has been a Mercury retrograde moment between us. But what we're going to talk about today is one of my two favorite holidays of the year, the other being, guess which, and why Halloween has gathered and captured so much of our interest. And it is something that has been a celebration in the Western world for centuries, actually. So specifically, what is going on with the calendar right now? We are at one of the quarter turns of the wheel, of the witch's wheel, of the astrological wheel. You're familiar with the equinox, with two equinoxes and two solstices. There are four points in the year that are halfway points. The equinox is halfway between the summer and the, each equinox is halfway between the summer and the winter solstice. We are now at the halfway point between the um, September equinox and the December solstice. So that's the quarter point. And this is traditionally the witch's new year. It was a festival, a harvest festival, and a festival celebrating connections with the dead. Back in Celtic times, you may see it referred to as Samhain, S-A-M-H-A-I-N. It dates back to the Middle Ages. This has traditionally been a time in the Western world where the harvest is coming to an end, winter is approaching, communities would be looking at how to store and maximize the food that had already been harvested and gathered, and preparing for the cold to come. And then there was also the notion of the veil being extremely thin, and the notion that the dead would be returning, walking among us, easily accessible. In Celtic times, there were events that had to do with food, with the harvest. There were bonfires. Fortune telling was an extremely important part of the rites. Costumes were a big part. And there's some talk that I have read that to help the dead leave the cemetery and find their way back into villages, a tradition started of actually carving a small candle holder out of a turnip and lining the path from the graveyard back to the village with turnips holding lit candles. It doesn't take too much to see what grew out of that. The jack-o'-lantern or pumpkins, it got much bigger. And as with many, many festivals, once there was a melding also with Roman rites, with Roman festivals, especially once Rome started coming through the areas where the Celts were already engaging in this, there was a melding of the traditions. And around this time of year, Roman culture had a festival honoring the dead, Feralia, F-E-R-A-L-I-A. So there's the aspect of the veil being thin. You're going to see how this plays into the Catholic Church in just a minute. And then there was also a festival of the goddess of apples, whose name was Pomona. And I don't see it being done anymore. I think the most recent example of this I can point to is in the animated special, It's a Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, and that is bobbing for apples is a way, that's a nod, a holdover from the Roman festival of apples. So we've got fortune telling, fires, lit root vegetables with candles in them, lining the way from the graveyard. Tradition of dressing up, honoring the dead, having something to do with apples, and then enter the Catholic Church, which had a knack for appending existing pagan rituals onto the church calendar so that they could just be slipped into, just get people to keep doing what they were doing, but putting it in a different format. So November 1 in the Catholic Church is All Saints Day, also known as All Hallows Day, which leads to Halloween, All Hallows Evening, Eve, the night before. And November 2nd is All Souls Day, and that would be honoring the dead. So we have the evening before, which pulls in the rites and fun stuff that all the pagans and the Romans were doing, and then the church on November 1 honoring saints, and on November 2 honoring the dead. And if you have spent much time in a predominantly Catholic country or area, it's this is the time when people hang out in cemeteries. They tend to do that. I lived in Germany when I was quite young, and going to the cemetery was a weekend activity, but it was a big deal in Catholic Bavaria at the very beginning of November, because you needed to go see your ancestors. And in the Mexican culture, Day of the Dead, retablos, or altars honoring your ancestors, are an art form, and they're definitely a part of this time. So we get to the United States. People start living in the U.S. Pilgrims weren't too keen on this, but some of the customs started coming along, and there were harvest celebrations at this time of the year, and early on, pranks became a good part of what children would actually do at this time of year. You might have heard something called Goosey Night. I know that there are traditions in different parts of the U.S., and it used to be bigger in the mid-20th century for this. And gradually, that turned into going door to door and saying, okay, we will not do this. We will not perpetrate mayhem on your property if you give us something, which led to trick or treating, which was like the high point of kiddom when I was quite young, and I suspect for many of you. So we'll be back, taking a break right now. We'll be back very soon. So hang in there, and we'll continue talking about Halloween.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Want help with your own celestial compass? Visit my site, empowermentunlimited.net, for Astro Insight forecasts for each week, month, and new and full moon. Want to explore the personal impact? Make a decision? Understand another person? It is possible. Click the Services tab to book a personal session with me. That address again, empowermentunlimited.net.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Welcome back to Celestial Compass. This is Kathy Beal, and today we're talking about all things Halloween. So just to recap, this celebration that America especially has so taken to heart has Celtic roots, and many of our traditions that we associate with Halloween here date back to them. There are some Roman overtones, a festival of the dead, and a festival involving the goddess of apples. And then the Catholic Church coming along and taking those traditions and pairing them with All Saints Day on November 1, which is what gave rise to the actual name Halloween, since November 1 is All Hallows. So trick-or-treating. All right, so I was talking about the pranking being a really integral part of the earliest marking of this celebration in the U.S., and gradually that morphing into, we will not damage your property if you give us something, which then turned into just going door to door with a bag and just expecting that you would be given candy. And if you think about it, some of the candies that are now associated with this time of year do bring in some of the harvest festival elements to them. Candy corn, highly controversial, filled with high fructose corn syrup. Some people absolutely hate it. Some people absolutely love it. But it's a depiction of a foodstuff that would have been harvested and being set aside at this time of year. Little candy pumpkins fit in with it as well. Indian corn, which is more of a brown corn kernel, also another type of sweet candy that shows up in the grocery stores around this time. Not so much a time of parties with bobbing for apples and that sort of thing, but it does seem to have morphed into a mainstream celebration that children, that adults actually take part in pretty much as children anymore. And that was something that was very rare in my boomer early days. In my vast trick-or-treating career, I can only think of one instance when a door was opened to a party of adults in costume. They were having a very good time. As I recall, I think I recall martini glasses on the table. How many of you have dressed up to give out candy to the kids that show up at your door, even if, well, in recent history? It may not have been going on right now. But it is definitely something that brings out the child and the playfulness. We have societal permission to dress up, to act weird. One friend of mine who was in a pretty high level corporate job at this time of year would put vampire fangs on when he would go into the bank to go to his safe deposit box and just kind of dare anybody to notice that the man in the business suit had fangs. Some of you may want to adopt that. But increasingly, you go out and about and you see people just dressing up because they feel like it. And there seems to be, it's again, societally sanctioned at this time of year. And I would also point out what's going on with so many houses and apartments. But decorating your house for Halloween is starting to approach what people do at Christmas time in a lot of places with light displays and increasingly intricate ones. I'm seeing this year in particular, which seems to be appropriate for Pluto in Capricorn, loads and loads of skeleton figures of all sizes around houses and engaging in sort of normal human actions, which is an interesting parallel to a lot of Day of the Dead imagery that you would see in a Hispanic culture. I've seen skeletons riding skeletal horses. A psychic in northern New Jersey has gigantic skeletons standing next to her highway billboards, next to her little storefront. Don't know whether that's such a good thing. But lately, I would say that there is a reason in the sky for why this has swelled so much, because we have been startled in the last couple of years out of our complacency And I can't help but think that it isn't some kind of backhanded way of acknowledging mortality and playing with it and having just big examples of it right in front of us all the time. That used to be, there was a time when memento mori, remember mortality, think of me, little skull figurines were commonplace to remind people the clock is ticking, we're only here for a while. And it does feel like there's a bit of an undercurrent with that right now. They're also tied to this, and kind of an interesting outgrowth of it is the horror movie genre, which people gravitate to this time of year in particular. And it's not silly things necessarily like Ghostbusters. You would think there'd be more movies about ghosts getting in touch with people, like The Ghost and Mrs. Muir or Patrick Swayze's movie Ghost. But instead, there's more of a macabre and eerie creatures theme streak to this, especially the Universal movies from the 30s with the whole Frankenstein and Dracula franchises, werewolf, fantastical beings that would come in and walk among us. Somehow that seems to have morphed and found its place in this time of year as we, on a regular basis, experience diving into being confronted by things that are not part of just mundane waking existence. And this year, I am observing, and I challenge you to look around you and see if this is perhaps the case where you are. It seems to be also coming along with a rise in the acceptance of at least looking like witches, acting like witches. The little witchling phenomenon on Instagram and TikTok is pretty impressive, of young women, particularly in their 20s, some of whom actually have children who are just past the toddler stage they're bringing up in this community, banding together, dressing in like the 21st century of what version of what used to be goth, and being witchy on a full-time basis and just weaving it into their natural, normal way of being. This kind of behavior has been associated for a long, long time with the town of Salem, Massachusetts, which is unfortunately well known because of witch trials being so prevalent there several hundred years ago. But it is spreading all over the country in a very benign and creative and interestingly mutually supportive way. And I have been observing, and see if you don't notice this, where you are, witchy businesses showing up, not just in focused markets that are just for that kind of wear, seems to be appended to the fantasy and the role-playing world additionally, but also making their own places, making their own night markets, making their own markets, and then spreading into absolutely mainstream ones. I am seeing little booths actually showing up at really white bread middle class, upper middle class, small community markets, even at a fair that was to benefit a semi-rural fire department. Not what you would think little witches would be part of, but there they are. So this Halloween in particular seems to be a bridge time. Not quite the way it was celebrated before the pandemic, but not as shut down as it was during the pandemic, finding new ways of coming together and bringing a lot of these traditions into a newer form, and one of them does appear to be dressing up, acting as if, living as a magical being out in the real world more and more and more openly. So for those of you who dressed up when you were children, I invite you this particular Halloween season to play with coming out a little more, being a little more daring, having a little more fun, doing something when you go into your ordinary life that's just a tad Halloween-y, and see if you don't find it welcomed, if you don't find smiles. Why not take advantage of this growing interest and ride it for a while? This is a high holy day for actual practicing witches. It is the witches' new year. It is the time when we're wrapping up 1 year, honoring the dead, honoring those who came before, and moving into the next phase. And you will actually find, I challenge you to pay attention to this, there is a palpable shift in energy from October 31st to November 1st. Now, normally I don't subscribe to this because these are human chosen dates on a calendar, and they won't really have anything to do with what is going on in the sky. However, there is something palpable about the shift in energy from October 31st to November 1st. It goes into a much deeper, fiercer energy at that crossover at midnight, wherever you are in the world. And this goes against the way I look at everything, but I encourage you to play with it this time around. And here is my personal story. I used to read cards at a massively wonderful nonprofit benefit that took place in the Halloween season every year. And it had a huge following in the art community. So people were dressed wonderfully, really amazingly. And I would use this as a graduation exercise for my tarot students. They would read at this benefit. So I would staff the whole reading room. And there was 1 year that it actually took place on October 31st. And as soon as it became November 1, the beautiful party vibe morphed into something dangerous and serious. And servers started getting into fights. I had a beautiful grouping of scarves that I had braided together that I was wearing around my neck. It was the 80s. And they disappeared, just disappeared. And a practicing witch who was on site pointed out to me that Hecate, the goddess of the dead, Hecate takes over at midnight, and she sure was noticeable then. So just see if you don't detect a difference in the energy between October 31st and November 1, no matter where you are on the planet, much more of a party energy on the 31st, much more of a somber, reflective, contemplative energy on the 1st. Now, what can you do? How can you use, because you can, these different traditions and the energy of this year's Halloween in particular? You can have your own party, but I'm very optimistic about how this is going to feel. And I think it's going to feel that way for several days in advance. With Mercury moving into a trine to Jupiter, it should be a buoyant time. an optimistic time. It's not a time of sitting in your corner and being a hermit. There is a vibe that says, go talk to people, run around, send texts to everybody you can think of, maybe even, use the telephone, socialize, communicate, make things happen, ask for what you want, and have a really good time with it all. I don't think you're going to be sitting at home. If you are, you're going to be having a really, really good time, all of you out there, wherever you are. It's a perfect night for rituals, and it is a terrific night for fortune telling and for talking to the dead. Now, an old fortune telling tradition involved doing a ritual to find out the identity of your love, who you would marry, staring in a mirror, burning a piece of paper in a fire, seeing, programming your dreams. You might want to play with that, see who else might be coming in for you. And now we have one more break, and we will be back in just a couple of minutes. So hang in here.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
How would you like navigational tools you can use on your own? Visit my site, empowermentunlimited.net, and click the Shop tab. There you'll find lots of talks and guides explaining the big influences at work now, like Saturn in Aquarius and Uranus in Taurus. You'll also find a variety of guided visualizations for relaxing, clearing your energy, or getting to know planetary archetypes. That address again, empowermentunlimited.net.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
If I could be you,
and you could be me for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Welcome back to Celestial Compass, and today we are talking about all things Halloween. I was reminded during the break that plastic skeletons, which are so prevalent everywhere, are actually really bad for the environment. So I have been suggested that I encourage you to look for locally sourced natural skeletons if you're going to put up a display in your front yard, or maybe not. Now, I was talking before the break about ways of actually honoring this particular holiday this year, and I will remind you that we are at the halfway point between the September equinox and the December solstice. Yes, kind of hard to believe that we're at that pivot point. So you might use this while you're partying and thinking to consider what you're moving away from and what you are moving toward. And it would be very helpful to think a lot about who your allies are and what kind of associations and relationships will benefit you and be ones that you want to actually invest in as we move into the next phase. December especially is going to rearrange and reshape many things in our lives. And I know some of you are saying, not again, but it's potentially very, very helpful. This is the time to be thinking. You'll have great mental energy with Mercury making that trine to Jupiter, thinking about the kinds of alliances you want, what you want your words to mean, what sorts of networks benefit you, which ones are aligned with you. And it's appropriate this time of year to make use of the fact that the veil is thin and reach for guidance from the other side. So you might want to try getting in touch with loved ones who are on the other side. It should be easier to reach them. You can probably even do it yourself, although hiring a medium would be also appropriate. I would say people are fairly slammed this time of year. And it's a really good time for fortune telling as well. And I have right in front of me the deck by the woman who was to be on the show today, and we'll find out later. I think there's probably a time confusion. Marla Brooks's Witch's Oracle. And I will do a collective, I will draw some cards collectively out of it. But if you would like me to pull one for you and you're listening live, the call in number is 202-570-7057. 202-570-7057. So I'm going to pull three cards for all the listeners. And the first one I pull is Triple Goddess, Maiden, Mother, and Crone. It's also the crescent moon, full moon, waning moon. That's brilliant. So let's see what she says about Triple Goddess. And again, this is from Marla Brooks's deck, The Witch's Oracle. And Triple Goddess is, life goes in cycles, and each aspect of the goddess is seen within us every day. We are not all three things at the same time, but they do come and go depending on the situation. Symbols such as the Triple Goddess are gateways into a deeper reality. By meditating on her different aspects, you will be able to see past the mundane into divine and learn how to know yourself more fully. Well, a gateway into a deeper reality is definitely what the Halloween season is. And so that's a very nice thing for all of us to have at our disposal. So here's my second one. Oh, that's terrific. The second one is Hag. Of course, I thought it was death because the image kind of looks like it might be. So, Hag, the old adage, with age comes wisdom, is the message of this card. As we grow, we learn. Well, some people. We mentally shapeshift into becoming the person we were destined to be. Those closest to you have been noticing this transformation in recent months, and you've been feeling the change as well. Embrace the new you. Don't be afraid to use the wisdom you have gained over time to reinvent yourself or to show yourself to others in a different light. Well, this interestingly, I'll take her in just a second. We're going to talk to Deborah in just 1 second. Let me finish this. This particular card does speak to many things that I've been talking about. the things that people have been undergoing, the turning point moment that we are at right now, course correction, and my suggestion that you dress up for Halloween. All of those are in there. So, all right, we have a caller, Deborah. Would you like me to pull a card for you?
Yes, I would.
All right, so let's see what card I get for you. Thank you for calling in. All right, now do not be insulted by this. The card I have pulled is Toad. It's a very dark card, and it's quite hard to actually see the toad on it, but the toad is outside under a night sky that has three stars visible. When this card appears in a reading, you may be experiencing change in your life. The change might be in regard to how you lead your life, but can also be of a spiritual nature. Call on the toad to guide you through these times of transition and help you smoothly move from one state to the next. The toad will support your transformation or metamorphosis in a subtle yet powerful way. Well, this definitely speaks to what I've been talking about going on for this week in particular. So it appears to me that you've got a natural force that you can call on to help you just kind of slide through everything that is happening right now.
Oh, thank you so much.
Does that resonate?
Yes, it does. I'm going to go out by my little pond right now.
Oh, well, enjoy looking at the water. Okay, thank you, Deborah. All right, I'm going to pull one more card for the collective. And there's still time if anyone else would like to call in. Let me give you the number again. It is 202-570-7057. 202-570-7057. Okay, so the third card is Bat. Okay, who out there watches what we do in the shadows? It's about a house of vampires living in Staten Island. And they all have the ability to turn themselves into a bat, shoot, and fly away. And one of them actually yells, "Bat!" every time he's going to do it. So we have Bat. Bat is flying through the air. There are clouds. There are stars in the sky. This card has five stars, three below the bat, two above the bat. The bat is highly sensitive to its surroundings and is considered a symbol of intuition, dreaming, and vision. Known as the guardian of the night, it also represents death and rebirth because it lives in the belly of the Mother Earth. It emerges from womb-like caves at dark, and from the womb, it is reborn every evening. Bats are highly social creatures and have strong family ties. They are very nurturing and have great sensitivity to members of their own group. It said something about collective stuff. All right, so the meaning of bat is when the bat appears, its message is about communication, releasing fear and any pattern that no longer fits in with the process of growth in regard to you and your family unit. Your old habits no longer suit the new opportunities that will soon be coming your way. Expect new beginnings. Trust your instincts. The intuitiveness of the bat allows you to see through illusion and discover truth. And again, this reflects the astrology of this month and this week in particular, because there's an emphasis on communication, an extraordinary amount of it. The Aries new moon, the Aries full moon will have us releasing patterns in relationships, old habits no longer fitting. It's a course correction. It's a rebooting. It's a reorienting with new beginnings. Trust your instincts. Hello, Julie. I think I know who is here. Would you like me to pull a card?
Yes, you do know who's here.
Yay, I thought it would be that, Julie. Hello, Julie. Okay. And your card is Mortar and Pestle. That is a that's a tool for grinding down herbs. It can be used in medicine. It can be used in the kitchen.
I have mortar one.
You have one. Well, then, perfect. Alchemists, herbalists, witches, and scientists have used the mortar and pestle for thousands of years to grind herbs into a fine paste for potions, spell workings, and making incense. Okay.
Ooh.
Symbolically, the mortar and pestle represents sexual completion. Well, okay, so the pestle is long and the mortar is concave and receptive. I'm sorry, wrong way around. Mortar moves. Anyway, the unity of male and female influences, a balance. Mm-hmm. There's some Libra stuff for you. The mortar, yeah, like most cup or bowl-shaped objects, is seen as a vessel or female. The pestle, a phallic symbol, is by itself a tool of destruction, but in combination with the mortar, is an instrument of creation. It is a time to get busy. Create your own recipe for things to come. But be very careful in the concoction you choose to use, because bum, 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 some of the ingredients could be poisonous. I don't see you making that choice. I see you making very creative and fun and loving ingredients. So perhaps this is a suggestion to use your natural curiosity to search out concoctions that you could make, actually using your physical mortar and pestle.
What's really funny is you were talking about doing your herbs and harvesting, and I'm getting ready toward the end of this week to pick all. I have pots and pots of herbs on my deck, and I can just go out and harvest them as I cook. But now I'm going to dry them and store them
for the winter.
And yeah, so I can continue to use them and then make my own blends, herb blends for cooking. So interesting, it all fits together.
And doesn't it always?
And I also see that mortar and pestle is something I'm always reminded of, to balance male and female energies.
And that's certainly one of the things that we're invited to do with energy in Libra. Yes.
Yeah.
Very much so.
So I can
get
my witches books out and see if there are concoctions to be made.
And I'm sure you'll tell me if you make some. So thank you for calling, Julie.
Thank you, Kathy.
So for everyone who's listening, I have been pulling cards from Marla Brooks' deck, The Witch's Oracle. And if you go to marlabrooks.com, you'll find information about it. M-A-R-L-A, B as in boy, R-O-O-K-S.com. And she pulls a card a day, so you could just go there on a daily basis and see what card comes up for the day and kind of test drive the deck that way. And it may be one you want to put in your personal use. So as you're wandering around, look at, just open your eyes to how many symbols, signs, pieces of evidence of Halloween are floating around in mainstream, normal neighborhoods, how prevalent the Halloween imagery is. And when you see jack-o'-lanterns, you might think of, just remember, turnips, little turnips carved out to have a burnt candle, a burning candle in it. Think of the image of a dirt road leading from an open churchyard gate, an open graveyard gate, into a small village. Maybe you want to actually somehow create a pathway for your ancestors and deceased friends to find you, to come to you, pay a visit, say hi, look for messages from them, little symbols, things that were maybe special language with you and someone who's on the other side. See when they're cropping up, just decide that you're going to look at it as a message from them. And what does it matter whether you can prove it or not? Who cares? It's there. Enjoy it. Make sense of it that way. And think of this being yet another example of mainstream church appending itself to a very happy, a very powerful pagan holiday, and actually prolonging its life, looking at it from a positive point of view, into the current mainstream. So thanks for listening. Happy Halloween to everybody, and I'll be back in 2 weeks. Oh, and you can find my forecast at OhmTimes.com.